What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5 Sunshine FM. Bob Cooper has worked as a commercial fisherman and professional diver, but it's his bushcraft skills developed over more than 30 years of experience that have helped him make his mark. He's learned and practiced his craft in a variety of ways, including living with traditional Aboriginal people in our western desert, instructing with Special Forces units, lecturing with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Service on desert survival in the Mexican desert, delivering wilderness lessons in the UK, and learning bushcraft skills from the bushmen of the Kalahari Desert in Botswana. We might not be planning such adventures anytime soon, but are there basic skills that are valuable for us all to learn? Bob joins me in the studio today. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you very much.
You've recently written the book Outback Survival, and some people might be thinking, well, that's only for those who are going off on a huge adventure. But is there something in there for all of us?
I think there's something in learning outback safety, outback survival for everyone. It's only this week we've had two search and rescue operations for people missing. Some people were prospecting, another person went for a day walk, and one person was on a tour in the Pinnacles. So, yes, if you had nothing more out of the book except how to navigate properly, then you shouldn't stay lost. It's quite easy to get disorientated, but we can also easily, with knowledge, get out of it.
Of course, when we're in the city, if we get lost, we look around for the street signs, but there aren't any street signs. If we're going for a bushwalk and suddenly get disoriented, I guess there are some things that we can look for.
There certainly are, and if we can start thinking in directions instead of we went out here and we turned right, then we turned left. If, for instance, if you're driving a vehicle up your map anywhere in the world and you stop and get out of the driver's side door and you go for a walk in that area for whatever reason and you become disorientated, the top of any map is always north, including a street directory. You got out of the driver's side, which means that's the east side. And you've gone for a walk, and you've got geographically embarrassed, we'd like to say, instead of lost. And we all realise the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and the moon rises in the east and sets in the west. So there's your answer to how to get yourself back to that main road, main track. And knowledge dispels fear. Thinking that way will evade thinking about the other things that are emotional, which override common sense. And everybody would say, well, we know that. We know the sun and the moon does all that stuff. But not even thinking about it before you go anywhere, often people get disorientated and then they start thinking about the fears. And what if I stay out here? I'm frightened of whatever it is, the dark, being alone. The fear of being lost is quite large in a lot of people. The fear of embarrassment, what are people going to think of me when they realise that I've just gone, and some people have gone to the toilet and got lost for days, believe it or not. And fear of death if it's in a more remote location. And those fears can override common sense. And that's what the book's full of, those kinds of hints, a bit more complicated than that. And if you've thought about what if, then at least you've got a chance of nutting out and stopping a full-scale search. On the other side of the search is all the people looking for you and your loved ones. And it's a tremendous drain on resources and emotional resources. So to prevent that, and it's been from going to the toilet to half-day walks to full expeditions where the whole group's got lost. So that's just one component of being lost. The other one is about how to appreciate the bush, how to understand more about edible medicinal plants, how to use the animals to find water, and that gives you much more respect for the environment, and what you give out is what you get back. And I'd also like to see people having a safer, more comfortable journey, a bit more adventurous because they've got some more skills, and at the same time being very respectful to the environment and one another in that situation.
Where did you learn your respect and love of the bush?
The love came from the beginning of my life. I just loved it, and I still do. I used to hitchhike out of Perth, born in Perth, and I would hitchhike up to Canning Dam area as soon as I could when I was 14. And the first story in the book is I walked from North Beach to Yanchep when I was 17 years old back in the 70s. When there wasn't much along that section of the coast. And the respect I've got from knowing that the bush can actually look after me, and I've been in land, sea and air mishaps where death was imminent. Somebody could have died. Fortunately, no one ever did. And also living with traditional people in several continents. And it was humbling to be with people that just knew so much, had so little material wealth, but gave you everything they had or shared everything they had with you.
A lot of people would think, well, yeah, but I'm a city person, so therefore it's not really ever been a part of who I am. But you're a city guy.
Yes, and we shouldn't think of them and us, so why can't we go for a bushwalk? And we shouldn't be in the city all the time, I'm sure. It's knowing what to do if something doesn't go according to plan A. Now, it doesn't have to be being lost, which is how we started the program. You can be in another country and there can be civil unrest. You can have a tsunami. You can have an earthquake. You can just be delayed by a lot of things. And then you know how to look after yourself. And I encourage people to take some sort of an emergency kit with them. If the power goes off for 5 days, what are you going to do? That's where you can lean on bushcraft again and set yourself up in your own backyard to get your own water, purify it, go down the river, catch some fish, cook them in the coals. You know, there's no reason to panic and no reason to be fearful of it.
I did hear recently that in the US, with a lot of the national parks there, they've almost given up on taking tours through because people are just getting in their SUVs, they're driving through, taking a few pictures out the window, and that's really their connection with nature. Are we going the same way here?
We've started to, but I think the trend is now to coming back the other way, and I've seen several trends over the last decades of doing this. And people are now turning the TVs off and actually going out and doing some of these things. And I've noticed a trend several years ago when videos first came out, people stopped going out into the bush and they started watching things. Now I think there's a groundswell around the world and several TV programs promote that. People are going out doing more things in the outdoors. And I think the trend is now to turn the TV off and get out there and do it yourself instead of watching somebody else do it.
We've seen a big rise in technology, and even things like GPS is probably helpful for a lot of us if we're wanting to get out and about. But there's always the possibility that we're going to get that little message saying, lost satellite reception. Then what do we do? So can we rely on some of these new gadgets, or do we have to make sure that we know other ways of surviving?
As I've said in the book, we shouldn't rely on anything that's got batteries. Technology is fantastic, and it should be a backup to your basic skills. You shouldn't own a GPS and rely on it until you know how to use a map and a compass. And along with your map and compass, you should also know how to use the sun and stars to navigate and how to get around without a map. And then that takes away the fear of being lost or the fear of the batteries going flat or dropping it or no signal.
You've been teaching people survival skills for quite some time now. Have there been occasions when some of those people that you've taught over the years have come back and said, you know, I found myself in this situation or that situation and I knew what to do?
Yes, several. I've got quite a lot of accolades from people saying, thank you. We got into that situation. I had a father and son situation in the Murchison where the oil filter fell off the car after it had been serviced for their father-son trip out into the wilderness to do some prospecting, and they weren't found for a week, but they'd taken the provisions and everything to look after themselves and done the notification, which we suggest, and everything was fine. Another couple of people down in the Stirling Range actually rescued some other people from the skills they got off the basic survival training, and the list goes on. It's been very pleasant to get that feedback.
So really the answer is not to just put off those adventurous tours that we might consider taking, but just make sure that we're equipped for them.
Yes, equipped both physically and mentally. And the thing I like about survival training and bushcraft is that it takes away the fear of being lost, the fear of being alone. What if the car doesn't start? What if we get three punches and we've only got provisions for two? And all of those things are mishaps. And with knowledge, it dispels the fear. It also doesn't turn a mishap into a tragedy, which we've had around 53 people die in the last 25 years in Western Australia alone, and that's 53 people too many. And many of those could have been avoided. They had the things with them but didn't know how to use them, and also they started making decisions based on fear or emotion, and that overrides common sense. We've had people die of dehydration, but they had 4 jerry cans of fresh water in the vehicle. And why they left the vehicle is because they got scared. And they tried to walk back 70 kilometres to an Aboriginal community in 45-degree heat and died. And that's a common story. There's several people died with water on them of dehydration. And one of the things that people don't appreciate about water consumption is sipping doesn't prevent dehydration. If you have 2 litres of water and sip it in over a 24-hour period, you can still die of dehydration. Where if you drank that in 8 cup pools, your body has a chance to use that water in all the organs, including your brain.
Where does the biggest call for survival skills come from these days? What sort of group would you see as wanting these sorts of skills?
Our families. It's pleasing to see women are coming along the courses now, and they're taking more of an active role in the decision making of what's been taken out into the bush, and they're also would like to know what happens if my husband or my partner collapses, or if he gets lost, or in the preparation of it, does he know what he's talking about? Because we've got my life and the family, the kids, as well, and it all rests on his or her shoulders if one person's making the decision. So I've actually seen groups now coming on courses as families, and family and friends coming together saying, we're going out on this trip. We'd all like to know what to do if something doesn't go according to plan A.
Bob, it's been great talking to you. Bob Cooper, author of Outback Survival, a man with plenty of experience, and thankfully he's put it down in print form. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you very much.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.